Good morning, and welcome to SMB's Sunday Morning Service. I thank everybody for calling in this morning. We are talking about humble yourself. Again, that's humble yourself. I want to wish all the fathers Happy Father's Day this morning. This is a joyous day. They set this aside to celebrate the fathers, even though Father's Day is 365 days a week. So, again, we have been talking about humbling yourself. Humbling yourself, and Esther Carr gave some three pointers on about humbling yourself. You have to humble yourself. You have to be open, available, and willing. So I hope we all have been open. I hope we all have been available and willing in our daily walk and everything that we have been doing this past week. So, Miss Tiana, you there?
Hi. Good morning, Miss Shabri.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. You enjoying this morning so far?
Absolutely. It's another wonderful day. The fact that we're even up this morning just continue to bring joy.
Good, good. So this morning, I'm going to go ahead and let you open up with prayer.
All right. Let us do so. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to just come together and worship you. You have given us the gift of this ministry by these means that most wouldn't intend to use to fellowship with one another. But we are so grateful for this gift that we get to come together, serve you. We are grateful that you are bringing us this word, Heavenly Father, to humble yourselves, such that we know, Heavenly Father, that everything is in and through you. Our knowledge comes from you. Our understanding is in and through you. And all of that wouldn't be possible without love. So we're grateful for the love that you provide. So as we go forward on this call this morning, let us be reminded of that. Let us be reminded that your love is the most important thing, and that we should emulate you and the example set by your son. We thank you again for this ministry. We thank you for our leader. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So at this time, I would like to introduce our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Mr. Carr, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
Doing great. I'm doing great.
So I would like to wish everyone a happy Father's Day. Started off like that. I think that we're in a day and age where the things of God are no longer prevalent. You know, humility is no longer prevalent. And y'all, I want y'all to know that even on Father's Day, you think of God, you know, you can think of your natural earthly fathers. You know, the thing about, you know, life is the Bible clearly says that this life that we live is not our own.
Mm-hmm.
I think people get it messed up, twisted, all those other terms that we can use, those jargons, those words, those phrases, they get it messed up. Because since the life that we live is not our own, and who can override God? Anybody know? Can anyone override God?
No one.
The life that we live is not our own. If you want to do a temperament test with a child, what you do is you give a child something, and then you reach out your hand and see if the child will give it back to you.
Hmm.
Y'all see where I'm going with this, huh?
Indeed.
Hmm. Boy, God is good. God is good because the very thing we adults, you know how people say, you know, the more you realize you don't know. We as adults tend to be outside of the scope of humility a lot. We tend to operate in the other H called hypocrisy. Let me explain myself. We tell kids not to worry about what what Susan and her family got going on in her house, because a child will run up to you and say, what Susan, they do, and her parents gave her, and she can stay out, and she can talk on the phone after 9 o'clock at night. And we tell our child it's not about what's going on in somebody else's house. It's about what's going on in ours. True?
Right. Very true. Right.
But the not so humble us, the not so a dog that's walking in humility, that's not walking in humility, the hypocrisy us, us say don't worry about what's going on in somebody else's house, but as soon as God sends someone to challenge us, we tell people, well, I'm human. Everybody sins.
Right.
Oh, didn't you just say to your child, don't worry about what's going on in somebody else's house?
That's all right.
Oh, yeah. Y'all see it? Look how kilter we get. Because now we worried about what's going on in somebody else's house. But what happened to humility? I mean, the life that you said is yours, why didn't you live in my best? What is your best life? The only way that we can live our best life is that we pass our temperament test and give it back to God.
All right.
We get attitude with people when God told us what to do with his life. The Bible says that Jesus is the way. If you want to do it right, he's the way. He's the truth. Mm-hmm. And he is the life. So if your life is not in God's hands, oh, you're a child full of pride. You done snatched it, huh? He gave it to you and you done claimed it. It's yours. It's yours. Now you have God sitting up there holding out his hand. And you walk around because you feel in some type of way. You have taken possession of something that's not even yours. I know. We're talking a foreign language now.
Come on.
You're talking a foreign language. We do the total, the polar, the complete opposite of what we tell the children. Isn't that something?
It is.
Don't come to the neighbor's house. Why you worry about what they got going on? Humility. That should be between you and God. You and God. Y'all want to know another, let me throw out another one. Miss Tiana, humility.
Go ahead.
Miss Tiana, you don't know me. You don't know Miss Shabri. None of us know each other on the phone. But if Miss Tiana come up to me and say, what's your name? Just say that for me, Miss Tiana.
What's your name?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Well, no, I just asked because you asked me what my name is. Now, what if Miss Tiana say, tell me something positive that you just noticed in me, like got a good spirit. Just tell me something positive.
You know, I just see an amazing spirit coming over you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, you don't know me, but I appreciate that. Now, Miss Tiana, come to me and check me about something. You know, just check me and say, hey, you know, is there something about where I just drove or something like that? Go ahead.
Yo, you just cut me off.
Ma'am, you don't know me like that.
I know you just cut me off.
Okay. Yeah, I see where I'm going with this. Let me show y'all something, adults. It's funny. Stranger danger, but then we want to be in God. Like it's not even ours. Humility. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. We want to be in God. Hebrews 13:2. Be careful how you entertain a stranger because you never know when you're entertaining an angel. Isn't it quite amazing how we'll accept the good, whatever we deem to be good, because Satan can produce good. See, that's the problem with America today. They want good but not great. Let me say it again. I know they kind of slipped through our fingertips. America wants good, but not great. Satan can't produce great. He can't produce good. Anybody can be good because good is average. Very few people can be great. Great is on another level called righteous. It's mighty funny how we want the good when somebody don't know us. You know, God told me to bless you with something, or you have a great spirit, or your children, they don't know you. And you accept that. But let somebody challenge you. You're wrong for that. That's not right. Now, they're speaking on your actions, and they can very well be speaking on discernment that God has given them, and you'll say, you don't know me. But I thought that was the same person that didn't know you when they spoke good. Did you discount what they said then? See, humility comes in the form of me being so humble. First and foremost, I know my Father so good, I know what to accept and what to reject. See, humility says that I will not. I'm going to say this because this is going to be strong right here, Miss Tiana, Mr. Bree. Humility says that I will not get it wrong. If you get it wrong, you are not humble. I'm going to tell you why. Because humility says I take me out of it and let God have his way. And since he's perfect, how can I get it wrong? See, humility says that you can check my resume. When God said it, it's correct. Humility says I didn't say it. I only did what he told me to do. Humility can never, y'all better write it down. You might not like this definition, but humility can never be wrong.
Come on.
Now, you think about that. See, I'm about to go there. I'm about to challenge people. You remember the Bible said from face to face, glory to glory? If you got different levels of wicked, because the Bible said Ahab, he was the most wicked. See, the most meaning there's levels to this thing. Wicked ain't the same. They don't, look, it don't earn the same commission. Oh, no. So if wicked don't earn the same commission and wicked wants to be like God because Satan wants to be like God, that means it's different levels to faith. Do you understand that just because you have faith that you can crumble under the pressure of being around somebody who got that crazy faith and you don't understand it and you're a break?
Right. Come on.
It happens all the time. See, this is a whole nother dimension of humility. Let me break the definition down again. Humility can never, ever, 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 ever be wrong. Because humility says that I am giving it back to God whom it belongs to. So humility says if I give it to God, how could it ever be wrong when he's perfect?
Amen.
Right.
My God. Oh, my God, I'm going to tell y'all what the Bible says. The Bible says that we ought to be perfect because he is perfect. Everybody who says, I ain't going to say anybody, but everybody who says, I ain't perfect, I ain't going to never be perfect, you're not walking in humility. If God told me to do it with his life, that means it can't be done. You go sit over there with Satan. I'm going to sit over here with God. Because if he told me to be perfect, I can do it. You see, the problem is, the Bible also says that darkness does not comprehend light. So when you say it's not possible, it's only because you don't comprehend. And people who don't comprehend operate in confusion. And we know who wrote your life. Uh-oh. Because who's the author?
Come on. All right.
Hello. Hello. See, humility says that if God says it's easy, who am I to say that it's hard? See, humility would never be wrong because humility lines up with God. Humility abides in God. Humility speaks for God. Humility lives for me also. You see what I'm saying?
Come on.
That's humility. Huh? Humility. What kind of cologne is that? Humility. What kind of perfume is that? Humility. What kind of fragrance is that? Humility. Humility is never, ever wrong. See, to be humble means to be in God. To be in God means to be perfect. In other words, that means I am accountable for everything that I do. I am watchful. The Bible says that God watches over his word. That means I watch over everything that I do to make sure that it represents God correctly.
Amen.
See, pride says, I can just throw that in my car. Pride says, I can just throw it in my life and ask for forgiveness later. God knows how we do it. We clean it up when people get in. Let me say it again. We clean up when people get in. That's when we clean up our vehicle.
Right.
But the vehicle was called life. Why was you trying to clean up the life when people get in it? Because I thought that God was ever so present and it was his. In other words, the vehicle is a rental. You got to return it. Why are you trying to give it back to him like that and he didn't give it to you like that?
Okay.
Some people don't know how to return their stuff. You didn't pay for that. Oh, I'm going to say it again. You ain't pay for that. Huh? That thought that you have, that thought ain't for you. He told you what to do with it. Did you read the paper when you rented it? Did you read it? Huh? Come on, they said in the African-American community, if ever you want them not to know something, put it in writing, and they won't read. They won't know it.
Right.
Uh-oh. Study to show yourself approved?
Right.
It's the only form of studying. But did you humble yourself? Because to humble yourself means I don't go by how I feel.
Come on.
You know, in Mad Day, when Mad Day strikes, that's when people, they go from humble to pride. But here's the thing. It was never humility in the first place.
Right.
Because humility can't change. In other words, humility does not teeter-totter. Remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Humble yourself. That means God yourself, G-O-D yourself, not guard yourself, God yourself. In other words, give it back to him that will belong to him in the first place.
Right.
Humble yourself. The thing is, we get so caught up in pride, We get so caught up in Satan. Y'all, we be operating in Satan and not even knowing it.
Tell the truth.
Y'all know that?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
That's what Satan's job. Satan's job is to deceive. Huh? You do understand that if you're not walking in God, you're walking in hell. There's no in-between. You only got three options in life. Three options in life. Let me break them down. Humble yourself. The first option is that you give it back to God.
All right.
The second option is that you give it to you. The third option is that you give it to Satan. See, most people won't take the third option. They'll say, I don't follow no Satan. And we think, just because we middle class, meaning give it to us, upper middle class, just because we give it to us and talk about God. See, the upper middle class, see, the middle class is us. See, the we in between. See, something is pulling this way and pulling that way. Pride is pulling us this way. Humility is pulling us that way. I'm sorry. Let me say it again. Pride is pulling us this way. Humility is calling us that way. Because God ain't going to put his hands on something that don't want to be his. Oh, I love him. I love him. I love him.
All right.
I love
Tell
him.
Tell it.
I love him. Oh, he'll rain on you. That don't mean he will touch you. See, God don't touch that don't want to be touched. Because he understand, knows me, know. He's a pure gentleman. The Holy Spirit is.
All right.
And there's something, humble yourself. So we got these three options. And the middle option is us, the middle class. We the one that's in the middle. That's why you got to choose you this day. But see, a lot of people get it confused. Because the upper middle looks just like the upper class, which is righteous, and the lower class, which is hell, Satan, unrighteous, pride. Humility is up top. Pride is down below.
Pride
is too much. But in that middle class, we got the lower middle. That's when people say, shoo. They say, but they don't live like it. But the upper middle is where a lot of people get trapped. They know the word of God. They can sing in a choir. They can preach. Oh, look at watch this. They can preach. Watch this. They can preach. Here go a lot of people. Look at him. He ain't saved. Y'all, he fake. Look at us. I know this go on, y'all. That's when people don't like you. But when they loved you last week, it's all good. Let me move on, Miss Tiana. But see, that middle class has got to be very careful. Because the middle class has everything to do with you. Nothing to do with God. Although you knew use God's name, but why are you using God's name to live your life? Why don't you give him his life back?
Amen.
See, the middle class still suggests that it's in you. And remember what the Bible says, he do the in you type things with humility? He clearly said that, because see, if he tell us to humble ourselves, he humbles himself, meaning God operates in his word because his word has been spoken, everything that he said he will do.
That's right.
No one is an exception to the rule. If we think because he loved me, he can alter the rules for me. Where are he going to do that at? Where are he going to do that at, people? So with that being said, with that middle class, the middle class, upper middle, pride, some of God. See, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all thine ways. See, is that double-mindedness? One day we want to operate in pride. Very few days we want to operate in humility. It's a Sunday I'm going to operate in humility, but right after that I'm operating in pride. I operate in pride when I'm at work, okay, but I operate in humility when I'm at home. Or I operate in humility at work, but when I'm driving to work, I operate in pride because I got road rage. See how which way we can do this?
Right.
And the Bible says, you know, to be middle class, meaning to be double-minded, meaning to be hot and cold. He can spit you out because that's lukewarm.
Right, yes.
Ain't that something?
It is.
If you're half of God, are you going to be nothing at all? Humility. We tell people to make up their mind, but why haven't we humbled ourselves? Look, make up your mind. Which one, you want her or you want me? You want him or you want me? You want this or you want that? Now look, make up your mind now. Mr. Bree, why we don't do that?
Great question.
Y'all wake up. Oh, we don't
great
do that.
Question.
Humble yourself. When we going to make up our mind? Ms. Tiana, what you got on the topic?
Thank you so much, sir. First of all, talking about humility this week and preparing this message, it has really affected me. One scripture that I went to in particular really, really stood out. So it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read the Message version. It says, the questions keep coming up regarding meat that has been offered up as an idol. Should you attend meals where such meat is served or not? We sometimes tend to think we know all we need to know to answer these kinds of questions. But sometimes our humble hearts can help us more than our proud minds. We never really know enough until we recognize that God alone knows it all. And as I was sharing, this scripture has affected my actions because I have a tendency to be self-centered. I have a tendency to wake up and think, well, what do I want? How do I feel? What do I want to do today? What's going on with me? What would I like others to do for me? But this scripture is so much about love, and it convicted me about how often I speak without actually loving the person I'm speaking with, the person who's right in front of me. I'm not thinking about that person or the group of people. I'm not thinking about loving them. All I'm thinking about is what I have to say and just be done. Instead, I need to be praying, God, I want to care about every person I face, to look them in the eye and to love them like the word calls me to do. So that comes to my first point of this morning, that humility is a commitment to love others. Just as Mr. Carr said this morning, humility can never be wrong. So it's a commitment to love others just as God has told us to do so. But sadly, as Christians, so many of us easily get caught up in knowing more and understanding scripture more, then we stop there. We stop there. We forget about simply loving people. I'm not saying that knowledge and understanding aren't great pursuits. They are. But we have to be able to go beyond that and continuing to love people. The apostles were able to do that. They were an example for us. They grew in knowledge of God, but they also grew in their love for people, day in and day out. But we need to ask ourselves, are we still loving others? As Christians, are we still burdened like we once were? Do we mourn for those who mourn? Are we concerned about our brothers and sisters who are not receiving God's word, who are not getting great teaching like we do week in and week out? Are we concerned about whether or not folks are able to survive day to day? That's what others are thinking. What's my survival plan? How am I going to feed my kids? Do we think about people who are struggling? I bring that up because humility brings out that passion to love those who don't have, those that are lost, those who need to see God through us. This is why it brings me to my second pointer, which is with humility, love is better than knowledge. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, it states, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Somehow we're supposed to embody God's love. No one's ever seen him. But if we are to love one another, then God abides in us. If we could love each other the way God wanted us to, someone who doesn't even know him, who has never seen him, they should be able to be right in front of us, walk into a room where we exist, and see the love of God being present. Just as Christ embodied God in the flesh, we are the incarnation of God. People aren't going to see God in the flesh, but if we would love each other the way God calls us to do, they would see God's love in us, and they would actually get a glimpse of him. So I ask us, do people get a glimpse of God when they come into our presence, or do they just see a whole lot of knowledge? In the scripture that I shared to begin with, we talk about we all possess knowledge. We all know that we possess knowledge. And it was from 1 Corinthians, because the Corinthians themselves, Paul was sharing this with the Corinthians because they have an attitude of knowledge. They have an attitude that they know everything. But as the scripture calls out, it puffs them up. It brings about pride. When reality, we need to be focused on love, because love is what builds people up. It's that prideful attitude of, I know all things, I know better than everyone else, that brings us into the situations in which people don't see the God in us. That's not a loving attitude. As a mature Christian, we have to be mindful of where our brothers are. We can't be puffed up with our knowledge of the truth, because knowledge is essential, but it's not sufficient. It is not enough. That's why we see in 1 Corinthians where Paul continues, as he writes to the Corinthians, to say, if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Once again, knowledge is important, but it's not enough. Knowledge without love amounts to nothing. This basically means that we can be brilliant and worthless at the same time. Love looks to build up rather than tear down. So it's our duty, our responsibility as Christians, to kick any prideful attitude completely out the door. Which brings me to my third point, that with humility, kicking that pride out the door, with humility, love makes us look like Christ. Because humility is about thinking of others. Humility is about considering others more important than ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God didn't gift me for me. He didn't gift you for you. He gifted me for you, and he gifted you for all of us. We are gifted for one another. We've got to be constantly thinking, how can we build other people up? That's our responsibility. Paul says that if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Right there is the power of love, all in its essence. He doesn't say that if you know a bunch of information about God, you are known by God. It's when you love God, when you don't just understand truths about him, but you actually love him, that's when he knows you. It has everything to do with love. It's about relationships. So to humble ourselves starts with love. To know him is to love him. It starts with loving every person he puts in front of us. It's to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So with that, my prayer is that our knowledge doesn't make us arrogant, where we just show off what we know. That's pride. My prayer is that we try to love and build up everyone we come in contact with, that we would think, how can I lift this person up with the knowledge that I have? That's humility. That's my prayer for us, because maybe some of us are using our knowledge not to encourage, but to tear down. But we've got to remember that the same person that we may be attempting to tear down is also a sister and brother that Christ also died for. I don't want to be guilty of that. Jesus is our great Savior, but he's also the great role model who showed us exactly how to have that knowledge and understanding with love. So may our lives be conformed to his, so that when people look at us, they see Christ. And when people see us loving one another, they see who God is. Humble yourselves. I hope you ate well.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kiana. Okay. Y'all, I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. Humble yourself. You said a couple things, one of which can, your very first point, can you repeat that? Do you remember what you said? About knowledge.
Ooh.
And, yeah, what you say? You said a lot of
knowledge. I'm like, I was just going off the tip at some point.
Oh, okay.
With humility, love is better than knowledge?
Right. Yeah, I see it. It's so strong. See, humility causes us to change. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Don't think it's a coincidence. Because nothing is coincidental. I'm talking to the Christian folk. I ain't talking to the people in the world. I'm talking to the Christian folk. Let me tap into the Christians. For the time will come where people will not put up with sound doctrine. As long as pastoring them don't make you mad, you stand. I'm talking to Christian folk.
All right.
How many of us got mad with friends who done told us the truth in God? How many of us still going to the building, no disrespect to the building, going to the people, no disrespect to the people, going to that word, no disrespect to the word, but how many of you still going to people that's not even challenging you in God, and you know you're not living right?
All right.
I'm going to do it like Noah did, because we read the story of Noah, but we're not about that life. You know why we're not about that life? Because how many people have their hand to the plow and took it off and looked back? The Bible says you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Why is it when people challenge us in the things of God that cause us to be humble, meaning to get out our own way, stop acting petty, and stop being in pride, why is it that we think they're the devil when we're the one who acting like him?
Okay.
Miss Shabria, get real in the field, Miss Tiana.
Yes.
I done had these conversations, real talk, y'all. I ain't talking to the people in the world. I'm talking to the people who ain't God. You should know better, right? But we run somewhere because we're doing a service or because we're comfortable. 2 Timothy 4:3, humble yourself. For the time will come where people will not put up with sound doctrine. He didn't say people in the world. He said people in all. He's talking about general people. Whether they claim to be saved or not, people.
Right.
The people, apostles, disciples, who were around Jesus, they didn't put up with his sound doctrine. Just because they physically followed him spiritually, they didn't understand. They did not follow him. Yeah. As they followed him spiritually, why did they reject him so much? The closest one to him, Peter, rejected him 3 times.
Right.
Oh, y'all thought that, boy, can y'all humble yourself and catch this? Y'all do know that when he rejected him on the water, that was to come. On land. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all didn't catch that? Peter rejected God. That's why he lost faith. He had it, but he rejected it. Miss Tiana said abide. Y'all know the definition of abide because we need to hear this. When the Bible said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask for whatever you want. In other words, if you live in me and I live in you, you can ask for whatever you want. Because if I live in you, it's going to be my voice, not yours.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Remember, he's perfect. So God starts to ask himself. Oh, Lord have mercy. This is why the prayers of the righteous avail much, because it's not their voice. It's God's voice. But we don't understand that. See, humility can never be wrong. If you want to see something humble, I guarantee you're going to see something that abides, that lives in God. That's humility. You can't be humble and get it wrong. You're lying.
That's right.
You're suggesting that God is incorrect.
Huh.
I know we never think about that, huh?
Right.
How would you tell us ashamed of that?
That's right.
But the time will come where people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, Marcus, Louisiana, instead, to suit their own desires, to suit, to dress themselves up, to cloak their own desires. In other words, God says, put on the whole armor of God. See, humility says that I will obey. But they want to put on the decorations. They want to put on the garments that they want to put on. So they suit, they dress their own desires up. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what they itch. In other words, you're going to get people to say, don't this look bad? Better than what God's talking about. Now, you're going to not say it in those direct words because Satan is clever. Because he knows that the word of God makes people saved, the name of God. But he also knows that it's more about the name, it's the life. So if I can appease your itching ears, what you think is the word, I'm going to give you what you want. Baby, keep on saying you're saved. You don't have to live it because ain't nobody perfect. See, humility says that I obey. Pride says that I don't have to. Oh, my.
Yes, indeed.
I'm talking to the people in God. You don't think that a lot of times people in God get it wrong, meaning not operating in humility? Because I've had these conversations and dialogue and counseling, and people say, I know. I know I'm doing it wrong. I know. I know better, but have yet to change.
Right.
What part of God you think is playing? What part of God you think is playing? See, this is when people get all emotional when auntie no longer here, uncle no longer here, mom and daddy no longer here. That's when they talking about God real because everybody dying. God been real.
That's right.
You serious? Are you serious right now, though? Y'all, this is real life. See, a lot of people preach from the Bible. I preach from the life. My God, there's a difference. I'm telling you what's going on right now and what's to come in the future. A lot of people tell you the past, and they want to lift you up and have you feeling good. Forget feeling good. See, see, oh man, I'm going to get to it. When it's God in the room, God says, he said, clean out all that mess out your room. Take it all out and then put back in the things that I want in there. See, that's called humility. See, somebody's teaching you the way that says, just go in there and spray for breeze and dust a little bit and it look good. That's, it is good. That's a lie. The things of God will have you to clean out your whole life. In other words, it will tear you down to build you back up. He's going to expose it all so you don't go back to it.
Amen.
Somebody been teaching you wrong. Somebody wants that old pacified teaching that says, I'm a sinner. God know I'm a sinner. I never address my sin, and I'm going to operate in pride to look like it's humility. They say, we all have sinned, so I'm going to sweep mine under the rug and keep. No, God's going to expose everything. Oh, my, my, my. Now we teaching. Now I got y'all attention. Because we want to expose them, but we don't want him to expose us. Somebody still missed it. Because somebody's still looking at their neighbor talking about, they ain't humble. Because, see, God can expose them. What about you, ma'am? Sir, what about you? Stop looking around and start looking at yourself. That's when you know people listen. What about you? And then we say we appreciate God. See, appreciation is humility. Unappreciation is pride. But, Miss Tiana, let me give people a quick lesson in humility in terms of appreciation. See, you don't appreciate something by saying you appreciate it. You appreciate it by living you appreciate it. See, the only way that you can show appreciation to God is by humbling yourself. In other words, the only way that you can appreciate God, the only way that you can appreciate somebody is give somebody what they want, not what you want them with. I'm going to say it again. See, you don't appreciate somebody by giving them what you want them with. You appreciate somebody by giving them something that they want.
Come on.
If I abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask for whatever you want. And it would be given to you. Why would God give you something that does not please him in heaven?
Yes, indeed.
I need y'all to be humble to hear this. If you abide in God, if you live in God and God lives in you, you can ask for whatever you want to. A lot of people just want to get to that point to where they think they're being humble so they can ask God for the new house, the new husband, the new wife, the new child, the new job, the new look, the new body, the new mind. In other words, it was never about God. It was about getting something new that they wanted. Oh, I know I'm talking that talk. A lot of people pay their tithes because God's going to give back an abundance. I don't care what God gives back. I'm giving him his money that he gave me. I don't care if he don't ever give me nothing again. Why would I pay my tithes just to get something back in return? Now you're trying to operate in business when you can't even operate on your credit card right. You still owe it.
Come on.
Oh, okay. I don't have no credit card debt, but you got a life debt. It's called love. That you behind. The repo man coming. Ain't that something, people?
It is.
Right.
So we try and play God. And I know. I wanted you to think this morning. We try and play God because we lack humility. And then we develop our own form of righteousness by saying, well, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. Since when is the word of God an opinion? Start there. There's nothing about God that's an opinion. Everything about God is the truth. Now, because we operate in darkness, we'll take the truth as an opinion because darkness don't comprehend light. You don't know what God looks like. You don't know how God sounds, and you don't know the life of God. This is why you call him an opinion.
Come on.
If you humbled yourself, you know that the love that you used to have was nothing more than puppy love. That was never real love, so you would never claim it as real love. But because you're wrong, and you see, humble people, oh, Michelle, listen, humble people are never wrong. This is how you know you're operating in pride when you're wrong, because God can't get it wrong. When you operate in humility, what part of your life would be wrong? You, in other words, you can show your transcript and say, God did this, that's why it's right. God did that, that's why it's right. Ain't no guessing game talking about, you know, where I got intuition. Intuition is a 50-50 chance of right and wrong. That's how you know that ain't
humility? Because did God tell you to say that, or did you guess that? Because I'm a mom, I feel it. What that mean? God no more than the mom. He is the mother. He is the father. What you talking about? Did God tell you that, or did you tell you that?
Right.
I don't know where you got your teaching from, but let's take it to the word. People always want to scooch around humility and operate in pride, but you know, pride has become your master, and you ain't even realize it. Because I trust in me. Oh, okay. So you're going to come up against God, but I need you to keep the same energy that you have in 2019 that you're going to have in the day of judgment. Keep that same energy. Say the same thing. Act the same way. Puff up, bro. Bat your eyes and roll them too. Keep the same energy. Because he clearly says, what you do to the least of them, you have also done it to me. So how can you live in God and doing pride?
Can't.
But God, I appreciate you. But Miss Tiana, if appreciation is giving somebody what you want them with, how is it appreciation? Because appreciation says, I'm going to give you what you want. And the Bible says, it is impossible to please God without faith. In other words, the only thing that I can give God is faith-based. And faith-based stuff says that I not only believe it, I live it. So if I'm giving God faith, my life, I abide in him. My life, he abides in me. My life is my appreciation. I give God what he wants in return. In other words, I give him back what he gave me, my life. That's appreciation. When you appreciate somebody, appreciation is not a bunch of words. Appreciation is a bunch of actions.
That's right.
Uh-oh. Let me be more specific. Appreciation is a bunch of right actions, not wrong ones, because actions can be wrong. That's when people start saying, at least I did. See, you still operating in pride, because why would you give somebody God the least? Why would you not give him the most when he gave you all that you have?
Come on.
3 twos I want you to write down real quickly. Miss Tiana gave you some, I'm going to give you 3. Humble yourself. This is going to help us out. First, write down 2 Kings 5 and 13. 2 Kings 5 and 13. You go back and read the scripture. But the first tool I want to give you, tool number one is humility. It says that humility is good training for our obedience. When you go read the scripture, you'll understand. Number one, tool number one, humility is good training for our obedience. All right?
Yes, sir.
Right? Y'all follow me? You got to be careful. Okay? Because in there you'll see how Naaman, he was this great big old strong man, mighty man, a great big old hero. He was a hero, y'all. And Elisha came along and treated him like an ordinary person. And he ain't like that. Because he was proud. You know, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the proud. The man. He was proud. Y'all follow me?
Indeed.
Elisha told Naaman, You need to wash over here in this Jordan River, a small river, a dirty river. And he didn't want to do that. That was beneath him. Y'all know how we get, right? That was beneath his title, his position. But see, in order for Naaman to get that blessing, he had to humble himself and obey God's command through Elisha in order to be healed. Y'all catch what I'm saying. Number one. Tool number one, humility is good training and obedience. How can you obey God when you don't even obey God's servant that he sent to tell you? Oh, boy. Mr. Bree, I'm going to walk on water on this one. How can you obey God when you only, see, we pick and choose who we think God sent, but I thought you said you knew your father's voice. In other words, God has sent somebody that I don't even like, but because I know God, it don't matter. God will cause you to humble yourself with somebody you don't even like, because you will say, hey, you don't know me, and you don't have to know them, because God recognizes the spirit. God want to see if you know him, let alone him knowing you. You're looking at the outside shell talking about they don't know you, but did you step into the inside shell? Ooh-wee. Oh, I'm talking that. Go get your teeth. I'm talking. Go get your. Yeah. But we supposed to be in God, though. We supposed to be humble, though. And you talking about people don't know you. Well, you done missed God how many times? Because it ain't favorable to your flesh, because you operating in pride. Look at humility, just walk right on by. So you can't even, how can you pray on your knees when God sent you a natural person and you reject it? But you say everybody can't touch me. Well, since when did you have the spirit of discernment? You done let that old cruddy person who's been in your life that you call husband, you done let that old cruddy person who's been in your life that you call wife touch you. Now you gonna say God can't touch you when he used something that you don't recognize? Oh, I'm sorry, because you don't recognize him. Uh-oh. I told you the word of God would challenge you. I did not tell you that. It cuts like a two-edged sword right down to the bone and the marrow.
Right.
When it's a real teaching, it would check and it would tap into, it would reveal your life. Huh? You're going to do one or two things. You're going to draw nigh closer to God, or you're going to run away from God, because the truth ain't playing.
Come on.
God ain't playing, huh? But tell me what part of this is wrong. Y'all hear me say that a lot, huh? In other words, this is straight humble, because it's a lot is aligning with the word of God. It lives in God and God lives in it. Hello, somebody?
Right.
Number one, two. Humility is good training and obedience. How can you obey God but reject God's word when somebody, he sends it through somebody that you don't like?
Come on. Yes.
Humble yourself, though. You know, some people would rather die than to get it from that person, because I don't like
it. Very true.
All right, number two. Oh, yeah. Number two. Humility. Well, look, first write down Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 4. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 4 for number two. And then number two is humility increases our appreciation for God. Now, I just told you what appreciation is. Appreciation comes with what the individual wants. So if you appreciate God, you give God what he wants. What God wants is laced in faith. In other words, you can't just think it and say it. You got to live it. See, if you don't live it, faith without works is dead. See, faith responds to God, because God, when we appreciate God, he would call dead things and they would get up. Appreciation says that I respond to my calling, my God. How can you, Lord, how can you be humble and you don't respond to your calling, the one who called you, God?
Right.
The only way that you can be appreciative of God is you move closer to heaven each and every day, because he's up top. So if God is up top, why are you not moving in that direction? So how can you appreciate? So all of a sudden, that's like somebody saying, I love my child. Happy Father's Day. I love my child. Happy Father. I love my child, but you ain't doing nothing for him, huh? That's appreciation, huh? Now, you're going to call that a lie, right? So why don't we check ourselves? We can gauge everybody else. That's why half people don't say Happy Father's Day, because I don't like what they did. They spared a father. You still lay down with them. They didn't do something that you didn't want to do. So why are you playing that role now? Don't do that.
Come on.
That is messed up, and God is not pleased with that, because God delayed with you, and you still haven't been right.
Oh, my.
And then we have people on the opposite end that says, he's saying, green light, go back and get big with them. I didn't say that. I said you can acknowledge them. Stop trying to be the father and the mother. I didn't know that you have two genitalia down there. Stop. Why have being the father and the mother? No, you operating in pride. Because God should be the father. Well, I know that, Mr. Carr. You don't know that. Because you don't even operate in his natural order, right? Stop it. Number two, Humility is it increases our appreciation for God. That means, God, I know my place, even if they don't know theirs.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. So half of us got a problem with our fathers anyway, huh? Because they hadn't been there. But let me ask you, the ones who got a problem with their daddy, huh? Have you always been there for God? And how does God treat you?
Okay. That's the
truth. Oh, my. Now, people are going to give me a subtle, nice answer because they don't want to be exposed. But how does God treat you? So you mean to tell me that you're professing the word of God, talking about too humble, yet you treat them bad, and you want God to treat you good? See, humility can never be wrong, because humility is not a hypocrite. Hypocrite. We don't like that word, huh? Hypocrite. But why not call it right? They left us, and they ain't do for us. What have you done for God? But that's different. Explain. What's more important, your relationship with your dad or your relationship with your dad in heaven? What's more? So if he can forgive you, how can you not do the smaller thing and forgive them?
Truth.
Mr. Carr, you don't know my life. I don't have to know it. God knows it, but he still, you think God's word is going to change based on your life? I thought he knew everything before he created it anyways. So when he said to do it, that means you can if you operate in humility. See, you can do it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I can do it because it's his life anyway. Why would I get mad? I'm going to take y'all back to the realization, the real thing. We get mad talking about our daddy is God's life. When you let God get the glory out of something that he created it because it's his life. He wanted you to fit into his life. In other words, God, you gave me this man, and you gave this man to me, so I'm going to do it like you told me to do it. It can't be done because it ain't mine in the first place. So I'm not accountable. I'm going to do everything that you said to do with something you gave me. You gave me the life, so I'm going to give it up. You told me to do what? Call him. Okay, forgive him. Cool, I'm going to do it. You know why? Because it ain't mine in the first place. Who am I to take something and not give it back? Temperament test.
All right.
See how pride does? Pride having you thinking it's for you. Well, if it was for you, you should have a heaven and a hell. You shouldn't need a judge at the end. Oh, Mr. Bree, did you hear what I just said?
Oh, yeah.
If it was for you. You should have a heaven and a hell. You should need another person to judge you, since it's yours.
Right.
You see how pride lied to you? Y'all see how pride lied to you? Pride is lying to you, like it's yours. If it was yours, you shouldn't need a heaven nor a hell nor a judge. You should go where you want to go, since it's yours.
Right.
Oh, my. Pride is a liar. Humility is the truth. It's not yours. So give it to him while you still can. It's not yours in the first place. Why stress about a situation that God already got the answer to? It's his life. I should never, man, when it ain't my responsibility, all I got to do is walk in what he told me to obey. You see how life is easy? So how could it ever be hard to live for God if it's his and I'm only doing what he told me to do? I don't even have to think. I'm just doing what he told me to do. See, when people say it's hard, that's only because they operate in pride. Because when you operate in pride, you try and figure it out. But when you operate in humility, he already got it figured out. I'm just walking. I'll find the ram. He'll send it. I don't care. Hello.
Come on now.
Now what? Now what? I don't do no ordinary teaching. Now what? Because see, ain't nobody going to get on that pulpit and say, now what? I am. Now what? I'm challenging you. Now what? Because it ain't yours in the first place.
Right.
So, I know. We don't like that teaching. Talking about he sounds street. Don't you live in it? You live in the street, huh?
Okay.
You live in the real world,
okay.
Huh? You want to talk about Moses and Noah. Who riding around on horses out here if they're not in the country? Who? Mm-hmm. That's how this is. We want to be so disconnected from God. We want the times to be different so we don't have to live it in real life.
You're right.
It don't apply to us. Oh, okay. They do nothing.
Huh?
Number three. Mm-hmm. Write down Luke 14 and 11. The proud will be humbled, but the humble will be honored. Jesus, number three. Jesus is our model for humility. If ever you want to know how to look humble, look at Jesus. Whatever you want to know how to be humbled, look at your model. What Jesus do? The world gave you a trinket and you didn't even realize it. In every thought, what would Jesus do? In every way, what would Jesus do? In every attitude, what would Jesus do? See, some of us reconnecting and not even operating in humility. If we forgiven that person, but we're not forgiving that person. In other words, we befriending the world, but God said to befriend the world is to be an enemy of God. What would Jesus do? Why are you befriending something that God didn't befriend? Do you not know that you can forgive people and not be kumbaya friends with them? What do y'all have in common? The only reason why you befriend them is because that's who you're familiar with. Stop trying to straddle the fence. What would Jesus do? He said, come out from amongst them. But you come out from amongst something that you're still attached to.
All right. Yes, yes, yes.
You should come out from amongst your old ways, too. So if I have old ways, that means everything that was attached to my old ways, I got to, if they still ratchet like I was ratchet, I love you, but from a distance, I can't do that. What would Jesus do? I can love you without hanging out with you. We don't have nothing to talk about. I'm talking about God. What you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It amazes me when people say, I don't have no saved friends. Well, if you're not trying to save them, why are you around them?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Look at yourself. You don't have no saved friends, but you're around them. So what that make you? That means you recognize that they wasn't saved. And the Bible says when you see your brother in error, meaning you recognize it, go to him in love. Huh. Well, if you humbled yourself and you obey God, shouldn't you be doing what God said to do? Humble yourself. In other words, Jesus is our model for humility. You think Jesus was around them 12 disciples knowing they wasn't saved and just letting them just chill and hang with him? Talking about, y'all, we going to take a 2-3 mile walk today, get in shape? Huh? Since when? Jesus called out his people that was around him. Peter, oh, little faith. Huh? Thomas, man, you doubt a lot. Matthew, you got to come out of them ways right there. He challenged them. But they're your friends. You know you ain't going to challenge your friends because y'all wouldn't be friends no more because they're going to say, you don't know me. They're going to throw it right back in your face. Or you just don't want me to be great. Huh? Won't let me be great. You always judging. Huh? So as opposed to do the humble thing, the God thing, the obedience thing, you do the pride thing, and you say, I'm going to reject God like Peter did. Now, before you say you're not rejecting God, yes, you are rejecting God. Because if you wasn't rejecting God, wouldn't you be living for God 24-7? The person who wears their ring at home but don't wear their ring at work, isn't that not rejecting their wife?
All right.
I can't hear you.
Come on.
I can't hear Miss Tiana. They got quiet on me. Huh? Because if you're going to be married, shouldn't your ring be worn all the time? In other words, the light should shine all times, not when it's convenient for you.
Hmm.
Well, now we're rejecting God, but then we say we operate in humility. Just because you soft-spoken, because Mr. Carr, he aggressive, he ain't humble, you don't even know what humility looks like. Because if I ain't humble, God ain't humble. Because it's called typhoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, all that stuff, tsunamis, it's called, is that humble or not? I'm going to wait on that answer here. Boy, I'm challenging that doggone flesh. I'm challenging that flesh. Guess who created all that? God. Is that humble or not?
Right.
I know. See, that's all I get. It's right. But is it humble or not? See, they don't even associate with humble because when we're walking in darkness, we don't know what humility looks like. Because we have been branded. We have been threaded all our life to think that humility is, hey, y'all, how y'all doing? Y'all good? All right, we're going to pray. And y'all so blessed and y'all highly favored. And God got his hand on you, ma'am. Yeah, you the one with the phone in your hand? You. Now, all y'all got the phone in your hand for the most part. You. He got his hand, and I'm telling you. See, that's humble when you talk like that. But if you talk like this man talk, you ain't humble. So really. The thing about it is, who the judge? You or God? Start there.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the judge?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the judge? Who's the judge? But we are saying to say, don't judge me. You can't judge. Is that not a form of judgment?
It is.
Boy, proud to have you deceived them. Huh? Pride is forever wrong. Pride is forever wrong. Even when it start off right, pride is wrong. Because I've heard people say, you think I intended to do this and you think I intended to hurt you? It don't matter how you intended, how you started off. Because we all intend to do right for the most part. Even some intend to do wrong. But even the ones who intend to do wrong and do right, that's the one who skipped prison. But the one who intended to do right but do wrong, which one of them in prison?
Okay.
The one who did wrong? Your intentions don't matter. The outcome does. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to hear that today. Happy Father's Day. Humble yourself. Your intention does not matter. Your outcome does. Because I could have went over there with the intent to hurt you. Whew. But I came out loving you. But I also could have went over there with the intent to love you, but I came out with blood on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of a matter is more important than the beginning of a matter. Humble yourself. Humble yourself, people. Humble yourself. Ms. Tiana, let's go ahead and pray.
Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the word that's gone forth, for the fact that you have just trusted us, loved us, and have sent your son to just show us the way. Heavenly Father, may we be reminded of our role model, Jesus Christ. May we look to what it is that he's done, how he's done it, and emulate him in all that we do. Heavenly Father, you have gifted us your word, and your word gives us all the examples of exactly how to live if we would take the time to understand, to study, and to show your love day in and day out. We thank you for the word that's gone forth. We thank you for our leader, and we thank you for this day ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all
Amen.
Have a great day. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the fathers. This is Father's Day. I put it out there and put it out there blatantly and clear. I don't care what the world says. Enjoy Father's Day. It shouldn't be where you enjoy Mother's Day. No. Mother's Day, keep Mother's Day. Father's Day, keep Father's Day. Enjoy Father's Day. If you know of anyone who may have bitterness on their heart, pray for them if they don't want you to pray with them, okay? But time out for fighting against one another. We should be fighting against the target, which is Satan. Y'all have a great day. See y'all this evening at 8 p.m., all right?
Yeah, before you go, Mr. Carr, happy Father's Day to you as well.
All right, thank you so much. Y'all have a good day now. All right.
Goodbye.